Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another episode of Future Brew right here on MazenBrew.com. My name is Vaughn Lozon, and with me today, Steven Ossentoski, the man who does it all. Steven, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. Ahead of schedule here on my analysis, so that's always good. Yeah, excited to talk about some basketball and a couple future guys. It's crazy. Whenever I read 2023 for the class of these guys, it just reminds me of how old I am, and my 2011 graduating high school class seems like it's literally a decade ago. So I'm not getting any younger, Vaughn. That's just the way of the world, it seems.
I'll be at that decade mark next year. I graduated in 2012, so I'm not looking forward to that. That makes me feel very old. And the fact that it's been almost 10 years since I was in college, it's scary. I'm getting gray hairs by the second here, Steven. So I'm with you. I am completely with you. So, but yeah, we have quite the jam-packed show, as Steven kind of alluded to. Going to talk about a few 23 guys here in a little bit, but let's first start off with Michigan basketball and their newest commitment of the 22 class, and that is Greg Glenn, the four-star power forward from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, plays at Calvary Christian Academy. Very good friends with the Howard family, so this one kind of seems like a long time coming here. Four predictions were in for the Maize and Blue on the crystal ball before he ended up committing to the Wolverines. Was originally going to commit on Monday, and then the Instagram issues and everything that was going on Monday kind of canceled all of that out. He was going to do it live on Instagram, so had to push it back a day. I've never heard of that one, Steven, before, but interesting nonetheless. He had quite the offer sheet. He had Florida, Alabama, Maryland, Miami, some really good basketball schools. Arkansas has been very good over the last few years, but his top five that he narrowed it down to back in July, I thought was very interesting. So it was Michigan, Georgia, South Florida, Virginia Tech, and Ionia. So just a mixed bag of schools for the most part there. Obviously, Michigan and Georgia stand out among the other two. But he took his official visit to Michigan just a few weeks ago, actually, and visited with, like I said, his good friend, Jet Howard, who is obviously Juwan's son, 22 recruit, currently uncommitted at this time. But you would imagine that he'll probably be a Wolverine at some point in the near future as well. But they were going after a couple other guys at the forward spot. Ty Rogers was the in-state guy that they were going after, top 50 player. I would anticipate that recruitment's probably over at this point, Steven. You can really only take so many of the same guys because he and Jet Howard are kind of in that same group as well. But nonetheless, solid pickup. He is number 108 overall on the 24/7 sports composite. And Michigan's class is now in the top 10, number 8 overall as of this moment. And he is joining in with Doug McDaniel, the 4-star point guard, and Terrace Reed, the 4-star big man, who sits in the top 50 there. So, Steven, let's break it down a little bit. Greg Glenn, obviously a pretty good player here. In my opinion, I don't know, I haven't watched a ton of film, admittedly, but with the shooting, that's going to need to get some work. But the defense and the rebounding, there might be something special here. And it might take a little bit of time for him to actually see consistent playing time, but I think there's something there with Greg Glenn that a lot of people, from just first glance, they may say, well, there's a lot to work on. But if he comes off the bench and provides some meaningful minutes on defense and collecting rebounds, I think there's something there with that. What do you think about him as a prospect, Steven?
Yeah, I think he does have a decent three-point shot. I think there are some improvements needed with his mechanics. I think he starts his shooting motion with the ball a little bit low, a little bit towards his waist, and you want to make sure that, at the next level, you're not going to get away with that. You need to bring that ball up closer to your chest, start your shooting motion from there. So that was the main thing in terms of shooting that I think he could improve upon. I was impressed with his passing ability. He has some guard skills. He's not a guy that you really want to be dribbling the ball all over the place. Obviously there's a reason he's not only his size, but I think his ball skills, he's better off catching and driving rather than trying to beat the guy off the ball. I think if you can do a catch and one dribble to the basket, that's where he's really strong. I like him near the basket as well. He brings a nimbleness to it. So he's closer to me of like a smaller power forward than a true small forward, where I think Jet Howard fits that role a little bit more, where he's more of a shooting small forward, where Greg Glenn, you can put him down as as either the three or the four, and he can make it work on in both of those roles. So I think he's a really great player. I think his ranking is probably because he's kind of between that small forward and power forward role. Kind of reminds me of Zach Ervin a bit in that regard on kind of the skill set that he brings. But you mentioned the defense, you mentioned the rebounding. That's something that I think has kind of taken a back seat, especially rebounding, and maybe not necessarily the rankings, but in terms of like what people pay attention to when it comes to recruiting, it's something that you hope it will be there for a guy, but not something that's going to really stand out as like a primary skill set. So I'm with you. I don't necessarily see a quick path for him, but with how quick these rosters really change with, the better Michigan does, the better those prospects will look to the NBA. So it's kind of hard to project how quickly they'll catch on. I would expect him to be closer to a 3-year player than anything else, but it's a good pickup, and I think it complements the class well. We don't really have a body like that in the 22 class, so I think he slots in nicely, and I agree with you that it's kind of a nice complement in the at the forward position to go with Jet Howard, if we're safe to make that assumption. So
I think we are safe to make that assumption, but yeah. I digress. I think a comparison to be made here with Greg Glenn is Terrence Williams, the current Michigan Wolverine forward. Coming out of high school, he was 6'6", 215. Terrence Williams was coming out of Washington, D.C. Greg Glenn at 6'7", 215, just an inch taller. So I think there is something there for sure. And Juwan Howard, he knows what he likes. He knows what is good for the team. And I'm with you. I don't think Greg Glenn is he's not going to be a one and done. He's not going to be a two and done. He could be around for a while. And by a while, I mean his entire time in college to get his degree. But you're going to need some guys like that. You can't have one and dones just throughout your entire recruiting class. You're going to need these guys that fill in the gaps for when those more talented players, more NBA ready players leave. And I do believe Greg Glenn is one of those guys. He's going to be around for a while. And if you look at the development of Terrence Williams from his freshman season, it took him a little bit to get it going. And I think he's going to end up playing a more important role down the line. Terrence Williams will. And I think Greg Glenn could have a very similar path to that if he does buy into everything and kind of just wait in the wings, wait his turn behind these other guys that are a little bit more talented than him. But I just wanted to get your take on that with the Terrence Williams comparison and kind of just the mindset that like a top prospect has to be in to come into college to a big program and kind of just sit and wait and just soak in everything and learn from the higher up guys at that moment in time.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you have Michigan who's building a program that the goal is to get to, like, I think at least the conference, be a player in the conference title each season and make a deeper run into April is the goal for Michigan now. So when you have that sort of expectation, I think within the program and that that firm standing, I think that Michigan does, that is going to I'm not comparing Michigan basketball to Alabama football, but you look at all these guys on Alabama football's bench and it's like, man, those guys could be playing anywhere right now. And it's like, yeah, but they want to win some games and they want to win some championships. And they understand that you do that with more veteran players. And that's just kind of how it is. You're going to learn from the best. You're going to be going up against the best in practice every day. And that's what makes a championship team. When you have when you're surrounding yourself with talent that's better than you and a coaching staff that knows how to develop you. So I think even with a guy like Hunter Dickinson, who is far and away the best freshman in the conference last year, that he had a lot to develop. And it was it's an anomalous situation when you have a true freshman big man contribute. And even with that, there are a lot of things that a guy like Hunter Dickinson can improve on. And I just think for big men, especially, it just takes a little bit of time to get your body ready for that, that beating that you'll take in the Big Ten conference and, just getting fully up to speed with what is necessary at the next level. So I think when you take a guy like this, because I like what you mentioned about, you're not able to really build a championship caliber team strictly off of one and dones and five stars. You need those glue guys and, guys like Terrence Williams, Brandon Johns, another guy who's going to kind of fill that four power forward, kind of more athletic power forward role that you could see here for Glenn as well. When you have those guys that you need to stick around and build that sort of core group of the class, you want to make sure they're going to stick around, right? Because they're the longer they stay around, the more your culture kind of surrounds those guys. There's more potential for them to be captains, to have that sort of driving force within the locker room. So when you have a guy like Glenn who describes Michigan like family, right? You mentioned always being around the Howards. He mentioned Juwan Howard being like an uncle to him. So in terms of picking up those guys that are ranked around 100 three-year program guys or whatever, that's about as close as you can get to a sure bet that he'll be willing to wait around, because it takes a lot of trust when you're the guy at your high school and you're ranked around top 100 in the nation for your class. I think it's natural to have a little bit of pride towards your skill set, and you should, because it takes a lot to get to that point. But beyond that, it's about trust in the staff and trust about what the goals are for the team and the plan that the staff has laid out for your personal development in the future. So in terms of like making that bet on a player that, yeah, this is going to be a guy that will stick around for his shot and trust that we will get him there, I don't think you can find a better fit than kind of what Greg Glenn does that for Michigan.
Yeah, 100%. And it's going to be really fun to see how everything all kind of plays out just with the hoops program in general and being able to see all of these guys who, you're going to get the Musa Diabates and Caleb Houstons of the world because you're winning and because of the culture, but you also need guys like Greg Glenn, Terrence Williams, Zeb Jackson, Jace Howard, these guys that kind of buy in and know their role. And that's really the most important part, is knowing your role, I think, with this program. And as long as everybody knows their role, I think everything will be fine. Good pickup. I really like this addition to the class. Now sits in the top 10. You got three commits. So if I'm looking at it from a bird's eye view here, Jed Howard is still uncommitted for the time being. You would imagine that he's probably a shoe-in candidate for another commit. And after that, honestly, they might be done after that, Stephen, because you got Yawan Traore, who just visited for his official visit, but he's taken the rounds in his official visits, top 10 center. But other than him, man, I don't really see who else could join the class at this moment in time. So you're probably looking at a four-man class. You're probably going to take in Jed Howard, that is, and kind of call it a day. But they're leaving the door open for Traore at the very least, because of just how talented he is. And obviously they paired him up on that visit with Terrace Reed, and they have that plan set in stone there if he ends up committing to Michigan. So, but if I had to just, Nostradamus, crystal ball prediction, I would say, you take in Greg Glenn today, and then you take in Jed Howard, whatever he wants to commit. And then at that point, the class is probably done at that point. Steven, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I don't see them really going for more than the four that you mentioned, two that are committed, Glenn, and then hopefully Jed Howard jumps on board. I think it's smart, because you don't want to build your class on kind of those reach prospects, those Traores of the world. It's just not a way to build your program. And it's just not going to work out with guys like that. It's just hard to, get more than one of those per class. I mean, Michigan did it in this previous class with Giabate and Caleb Houston, but you're not going to be able to do that really year over year with just kind of the makeup that Michigan wants, their blend of one and dones with more program guys. So it's just smart to ensure that you have your glue guys solidified, and then you can always reach, having that spot to always reach for a Traore. There's definitely, Michigan will ensure there's room for a guy like that just in case he does go to the Wolverines, but that's the appropriate way to do it, right? Michigan will have options at that point. I think with the transfer portal as well, it just leaves a lot of room for Michigan to continue to fill any spots with that. So I'm with you. I think it's going to be a four-man class. I'm not sure about Traore. He did pick up, I believe, a Memphis crystal ball at some point since our last talks about him. So we'll see. It's not looking likely, but again, it makes sense just from a roster management perspective to solidify the guys you can, and then have a spot to reach to ensure that you can take a shot on a high-flying talent, some five-star top 10 guy. And if he comes, great. And if not, then, you can turn to the portal to fill any gaps later.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be a pivotal part of recruiting moving forward, is utilizing the portal, because they've taken a guy at point guard in the portal the last couple of years. And I would anticipate if Dickinson leaves, which that is highly anticipated at this very moment, might go after a big man at in the transfer portal. I don't think it would be out of the realm of possibilities for them to look for that. I know they've got a couple guys waiting in the wings, but you can never have too much experience just across the board. And once Dickinson's gone, the experience is kind of run dry at that point. But really interesting. And Traore did pick up a Memphis crystal ball within the last week or so. And that's not saying that he's going to commit anytime soon, but just kind of a trend of what could come for Traore's recruitment here. So hopefully they're able to keep fighting. He's a very good prospect and would be a welcome addition to the class, that's for sure. But yeah, I would say for now it's probably going to be Glenn and Jen Howard, and then probably call it a class there, and that's a class that they would be very happy with. They've got a lot of talent in this class, and they've got a lot of talent currently on the team. So it's a fun time to be covering Michigan basketball recruiting. I'll say that, but yeah, lots of good stuff happening with basketball. And we are going to, after the break, turn our attention to the football side of things. And we're going to flip over to a few prospects in the 23 class who were pretty interested in Michigan before this past weekend's huge win in Madison. Now they're even more interested in the Wolverines. So we're going to get to that on the other side of this break. We'll be right back.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors in life, whether they be big, small, or anywhere in between. And when we keep those bottled up, it can start to affect us in a negative way. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched up with a licensed therapist. And if for some reason that therapist isn't working out for you, you can switch at any time for no additional charge. Get life's challenges off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BlockM to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BlockM.
Hey everybody, welcome for, or thank you, not welcome, welcome back. Thanks for sticking around. If you couldn't tell, me and Steven are recording this at 8:20 in the morning. This is what I call morning with Maize and Brew today, Steven. I don't know if, you got a cup of coffee over there, man?
I don't. Oh. I know, I'm eating some oatmeal though, so I don't know. Hopefully that'll wake me up, but, but we'll see.
I hope so. Go ahead and mute yourself so you can get your oatmeal. I'll do the talking here. And then once I mute myself, I'll go back in for my hashtag basic pumpkin coffee that I have just sitting here waiting for me.
Ooh, attaboy.
I know. Do you do the pumpkin coffee?
I'm a black coffee guy. I'm just give it to me straight up. It's purely laziness. It's purely laziness. I just can't add the extra 2 seconds to put in creamer or sugar. I'm just pour the coffee and just that's it.
I was gonna say that is very manly of you, but then that description of it not so much, but I digress. I'll do the talk and go ahead and enjoy your oatmeal. But let's talk about a few 23 prospects in the football side of things who this past weekend took pretty high interest in Michigan after this big win over Wisconsin in Madison. And I certainly did not see it coming. And I'm sure a lot of people didn't see it coming either. I don't know how these prospects entirely felt about it before the game, but they're certainly piquing their interest after the game. Let's start with Anthony James, the 2023 four-star. He is a defensive lineman. Stands 6'5". He's 245, is a fringe top 100 prospect. He's at 101 on the composite. He's been committed to Texas A&M since February, but certainly is not shying away from his interest in the Maize and Blue because he has been tweeting about Michigan over the last couple days here. And after that big game, I think he quote tweeted somebody that was tweeting about Michigan and just put simply just the Maize and Blue colors. Interesting fact here is that Anthony James was born in Michigan, I believe in the city of Flint. So he has ties to the Michigan community here and has confirmed with 24/7 Sports that he's going to be visiting Ann Arbor for the game against Ohio State with his family later this season. Keep in mind that, you know, while Michigan continues to kind of thrive here, they're sitting at 5-0, the team that he's committed to right now, Texas A&M, kind of struggling. They've lost their last two games. They're currently unranked. Things are kind of heading south for A&M as of right now, but they're going to need a lot of these kind of players in the 23 class. They're, at the very least, they're going after a lot of these kinds of players in the 23 class at 6'5", 245. You can kind of do a few different things with him. So, Steven, just talk to me about what you think of Anthony James. Just, I mean, 6'5", 245. He's a fringe top 100 prospect at this very moment. Committed to an SEC school. He's from the state of Texas, so it's going to be a tough pull no matter what. But if you keep winning these games, if you're Michigan, who knows what could happen?
Yeah, it's one of those guys, especially when it's the state of Texas. It's hard to pull them out of there. Being a commit to A&M, it's another situation where kind of similar to Monty Jackson, where you root for USC to kind of implode, which they did. You kind of do the same thing here for Anthony James and Texas A&M. Just hope that they continue to not really impress and Michigan continues on their path. I think for a 2023 guy, again, it's always tough to balance what's the actual importance of a single season on their priority, right? It's more about the projection of the program and that coaching staff. Are they going to be there when I'm there, rather than just a single season record? So it's more about the trajectory of the staff and the program overall. You know, Michigan's on the right path and A&M is on the right path if you're a Michigan fan here, and wrong path if you're A&M. So you mentioned his height at 6'5". It's just a really, really solid frame to work with. He ran a 4.69 at 6'5", 220. So obviously a really solid athlete. If I were a betting man, I would bet he'd probably bulk up to anywhere from like 260 to 280. He could be kind of like a Mike Morris type of guy on Michigan's defense right now. So it's a defensive lineman who can shade over to strong side defensive end. And I think that's probably where he's best. Just haven't seen enough of him kind of operating in space for me to be comfortable with him as a pure edge rusher. I think just with that frame to go along with the height, I think there's a lot of value in putting him on the inside. And he just a ton of mass that he can add to that frame. So it'll be interesting to see how he develops. And I do think Michigan has the advantage here to where Michigan has a lot of different roles that he can fit. So regardless of where he will grow into, Michigan will be pretty confident they'll have a spot for him to slot in on that defense. So really quick off the ball, really like that skill set. He pursues pretty well. And I think his straight line speed definitely jumps out to me on film. So he's definitely a guy you take and figure out later. And, you know, Michigan has a good step in getting him on campus, getting that visit aligned. So it seems like some of these guys are committed, but they're you know, still taking visits. So it's kind of questioning how solidified his commitment is. But all you can do is try. All you can do is get him on campus, roll out the red carpet. And if Michigan keeps winning and A&M remains unranked, you know, that'll start to, I think, resonate a little bit. Now, how much, again, hard to say, but it's getting to that situation where, you know, you do everything you can, and, you know, he looks like an intriguing prospect. I'll be really watching his weight and seeing what he kind of grows into for the next couple of years.
Yeah, me too. And I completely agree with everything that you're saying there, because the 23 class this football season is really going to, you know, lay the foundation down for their interest in Michigan. So if Michigan continues, like if they have a 10-2 season, just hypothetically, you know, that's a really good season coming off 2-4, Harbaugh being on the hot seat, and kind of just everything that happened when you bring in an entirely new defensive coaching staff outside of Sean Nua, everything kind of turns around pretty quickly there. The 23 guys are going to be interested. But the 22 guys who are in their senior year right now, that's going to kind of seal the deal with some of these. So you're going to have to probably wait another year before you seal the deal with these 23 guys. But at the very least, you're getting in the room. You're in the conversation for these top guys. And the tweet that I alluded to earlier that Anthony James had quote tweeted and put the maize and blue emojis there. It was Clayton Safey over at Rivals had tweeted, Wisconsin's 43 rushing yards are the least it has gained in a game since 2015. And that was obviously against Michigan. Ryan Osborne, the defensive assistant coach for Michigan, had quote tweeted that. And then Anthony James quote tweeted that. So he was quote tweeting the coach there. So interesting prospect. We'll see if there's any chance at a flip or if he just straight up decommits, reopens his recruitment, because it does look like he's going to be visiting Texas very, very soon for October 16th for their game against Oklahoma State. And he did visit Texas over the summer as well, it looks like. So could be a very interesting recruitment here. We'll keep our eyes on that one. And we will certainly keep our eyes on the recruitment of this next prospect. And his name is Tackett Curtis and is a Louisiana native. And Michigan doesn't dip their toes into the waters of Louisiana very often, but this is a prospect certainly worth doing so for. He is 6'2", 218. He's a four-star linebacker, the number 66 overall player on the composite, number five at his position, and number five in the state of Louisiana. Now, he's got a ton of offers already and has made quite a bit of visits already. He's including Michigan. He visited Michigan back on June 4th and kind of took just this unofficial visit tour in the month of June, started off with Michigan, then hit up Wisconsin, went to Texas A&M, visited Georgia and Clemson, Tennessee, Penn State, Arkansas, Oklahoma State. So he really he gassed up the car and took a long road trip there with his family. So Michigan was the first destination that he had in the month of June on June 4th. And they've been staying in constant contact with him. He is by far one of the top linebackers on their board in this 2023 class. So he was very impressed with this game as well. And he had told 24/7 Sports that they've been impressed with the job that Mike McDonald has done so far, which, yeah, me too. I certainly did not expect the defense to be this turned around this quickly, but that's what Tackett Curtis's father had told Bryce Marich over at the Michigan Insider, that Michigan has looked great, impressed with Mike McDonald, everything that he's done, and the energy that they had for the game was impressive to watch, is what Mr. Curtis said. So, Steven, again, like I said, one of the top linebackers on their board, and if you can land a prospect from the state of Louisiana, That could open things up for what's to come recruiting down south there. Obviously, I think Ron Bellamy is probably going to be a big part of this just because he's from the state of Louisiana. But nonetheless, a great prospect and somebody that you would want on your team in this 23 class.
Yeah, Louisiana guys always tough to pull from that state. This is another situation where with LSU not looking as solid, I think that's a big benefactor here of targeting that state. You know, you got to capitalize when the in-state programs are struggling a bit. And especially for a guy who's projected at linebacker, I think it was really important if Michigan wanted to have a chance here with Mike McDonald and George Helo, they needed to show that they – you know, had the chops and could get going pretty early. So being five games in and showing, you know, a top 20 defense, I think closer to top five or top 10 in scoring defense overall, that's going to resonate with Curtis more than anything else, because I think I've said it with a couple other prospects as well. It was just kind of an unknown what the defense would look like under mostly new staff. So to have that sort of showing already should help alleviate any of those concerns from these 2023 guys. So with a guy like Tackett Curtis, his closing speed from the very first play of his huddle film is pretty eye-opening. He plays safety in high school. He's going to be a linebacker at the next level, but even at, you know, probably 230 or so, maybe 235, where they'll want him to be, I think that speed's going to translate. He's got great size at 6'2". So having that, sometimes you worry if he's 5'11 or 6 foot, will he be able to bulk up and maintain that athleticism at a frame like 6'2"? you're much more comfortable with him bulking up to a larger size and maintaining that level of athleticism. So I really like to see that. I'm worried about all the talk I see about Wisconsin, because as soon as I saw his film before I saw anything else, I'm like, this looks like a guy that Wisconsin will just get and just have in their stable of linebackers. So it's good to see that Wisconsin is going really, really hard after him, because that shows that Michigan has done their due diligence on targeting a solid linebacker here. But again, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, Wisconsin has one of the best, if not the best, linebacker developing core in the country. So, and that's not to mention the host of other offers. You know, he's got the Georgia, the Floridas of the world. He's got pretty much anywhere he would want to go. Notre Dame. He got a ton of different offers there. So he is more, he's close to like a Junior Colson in terms of his skill set to compare against. But I really like that speed. He's a guy who I think Don Brown would have really liked to try to pitch the Viper position just because of that athleticism he brings. But it'll be interesting to see where Michigan would line him up at. I think Junior Colson is probably the only role that I could see him, but with that closing speed, you want him in as many situations getting going at that full speed as possible. So it'll be interesting. Top 100 guys with that amount of offers, it's never a done deal. A good thing for Michigan is there are no crystal balls, so it's hard to get a sense of where he's leaning at this point. And again, with Michigan starting off strong with their linebacker play and young linebacker play, I mentioned Junior Colson, having a guy that young making an impact already, that's another factor that should be contributing towards Michigan's pitch for Curtis here.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of one of those things. Yeah, I would see him in that Junior Colson type role too. But yeah, I think he could kind of, you know, he could play middle linebacker. He could play weak side linebacker. He could play a couple spots. And I actually agree with you wholeheartedly about the whole Viper thing with Don Brown. I think he's just kind of tailor-made for a role like that. So really good prospect. They're going to stay on him. And yeah, good thing that there's no crystal balls or anything. And you know, with the tour of visits that he kind of took in the month of June, I would say that it's probably safe to say he is very open-minded about his process at this point. So I wouldn't anticipate anything coming in the near future there, but it is very good that he was able to see Michigan up close. And then obviously, you know, he visited for the Wisconsin game against Michigan this past weekend. So on the other sideline, he was with the Wisconsin folks and, you know, probably very, very impressed with how Michigan played that particular game. And we'll talk about one more guy in the 23 class. Very interesting name here. And I hadn't really heard much about this prospect until very recently. And that is unranked currently offensive lineman. His name is Lucas Simmons. He's from Sweden, but recently moved to the States. He plays his football in the state of Florida at Clearwater Academy International. He's 6'7", 300 pounds. So he is just going to be a beast of an offensive tackle at some point once he really gets going with learning the game of football. He hasn't played for a super long time, but he certainly has the frame to be a very successful offensive lineman. He's got quite an offer sheet already. You know, I'll just throw out a few names for you here. Florida State, Louisville, obviously Michigan, Miami, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Penn State, Texas, Texas A&M. You get the picture there. He's starting to really gain traction in the recruiting game here. 24/7 has him as a three-star, as an 87 ranking, which is kind of on the higher end. I mean, it's kind of like right in the middle for three-star, but for as far as he is in his development and not really playing for super long, I'd say that's honestly fairly high for a prospect like Lucas Simmons. So very interesting prospect. He visited for the barbecue at the Big House back in July. So he has seen Ann Arbor up close already once. Certainly you want to get him on campus again. I feel like this is kind of one of those prospects that could end up being one of their top targets overall, just because of the potential there. And it seems like Michigan really likes taking, at least at the left tackle spot over the last few years, they like taking a couple guys that aren't really ready right away, because they know that they've already got guys at the left tackle spot that are going to be successful already. I mean, they've got Ryan Hayes, has been manning that for the last couple of years. They've got a few other guys at that left tackle spot. Carson Barnhart could be in contention for a role if Hayes leaves this after this year. And Jeffrey Percy is another guy that is kind of waiting in the wings there. So Lucas Simmons could certainly be one of those kinds of prospects here. So he was impressed with this win as well, and talked with 24/7 Sports about it. Says that he's still talking with Sherrone Moore very often. He likes the coaching staff and is still learning about the Michigan program. So he's saying that he said, quote, maybe when it comes to visiting again. You know, he says maybe because he's already been to Michigan, which, fair enough. If I were a prospect, I'd kind of want to be like a Tackett Curtis and kind of make my rounds as well. So, Steven, I'll just throw it over to you for the last word on Lucas Simmons. And I mean, 6'7", 300 as a Swede, not really playing a whole lot of football. That's got to be pretty nice, right?
Yeah, it's pretty wild watching his film, because the first thought I had before I even looked up his profile, I like to go to their film and just watch that first, is the first thought I had was like, wow, he needs to like bulk up. And then I looked at like what his actual height and weight was, and it's already 6'7", 300 pounds. And he looks like he can honestly add another 20 or 30 pounds and be functional. So it's a frame that is just massive, and he's going to be able to be extremely strong and functional at 325, 330 pounds. I feel like I say this a lot, but they just don't build guys like this that often. So there's still a long way to go in a lot of aspects. You know, technique, you're for sure going to need a lot of development there. His kick step and pass protection isn't really there. It's hard to really, I don't see like the nastiness you see with a lot of confident offensive linemen, and he does look lost at times. So it's a case where, yeah, it makes sense, right? He's young in his knowledge of the game. He's still probably trying to figure out what to do with that 6'7", 300 pound frame that he does have. And, you know, when you're not confident on your game, or you're still new to the game, it's hard to have that sort of nasty streak. So those are areas to look for development, but really love his lateral movement in terms of just overall athleticism. Super intriguing in that regard. He is best right now when he's just blocking down in the run game. No one really stands a chance with that athleticism and size. It's pretty much game over for any defensive lineman in his way there. So the ranking, I'm with you. It even as a three-star, this is a weird one, because you rank on pro potential. He's got so far to go in terms of actually developing the appropriate technique to get there. But with that athleticism, you almost have to rank him somewhat high. And I think the offer list kind of sees that projection for him as well. And being a left tackle, it's a position where you don't want a young guy there anyway. So Michigan can really trot out, like you said, the path they laid out for a guy like Ryan Hayes, a guy like Jeff Percy, who is a tight end converted into a tackle. So a lot of these athletic guys that Michigan likes to take, and that's a position where if you're going up against the Aiden Hutchinsons of the world, you need a pretty dynamic athlete to be able to hack it. So I think Michigan's got a good shot here, just with the strength of the recruiting acumen that a guy like Sherrone Moore will have, Michigan's past at that position. But again, it's super early, and with the amount of offers and being from Sweden, there's not any, you know, previous association with Michigan that could really benefit in this scenario. So it does have to be just, listen, we've taken guys like you before and turned them into NFL players, and we think that you fit into that as well. So leveraging those relationships and that sort of path is going to be really important for Michigan to make a dent here early. So So we'll see. But I mean, I don't want to call him like the Dan Filele of, you know, the 2020s. If you remember Filele, he was, was he from Australia? But he was like 400 pounds. He's like 6'8", 400 pounds, played at IMG, just really didn't know what he was doing, but just a massive, massive frame to work with. And now, I think he's still at Minnesota, right? And he's looking to get drafted after this year. So kind of the same deal that you're looking here for Simmons, where it's just like, this guy's going to move people. It's just about getting him up to speed. And I think the offer list speaks for itself in Simmons' case.
Yeah. I think somebody that you'd want to pair him up with later on down the road on an official visit is a Julius Welshov, who was obviously a relative unknown in his recruiting class, international prospect. They took him and, you know, he got quite a bit of run last year, hasn't played a ton this year, but is still a guy that you would clearly want to take advantage of that kind of, you know, not exactly similar, but very, you know, it's the path that he was taking is very similar to what Simmons is taking currently. So it would be interesting to see what would develop there. But Steven, thank you very much for this Monday morning edition of Future Brew. Very much appreciated. And thanks to everybody out there for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at @Vaughn_Lozon. Steven, where are you at, buddy?
You can find me at Steven Toski.
And follow Maize and Brew on whatever social media platform you use, except for the days where Facebook and Instagram are down. You won't be able to see us there, much like Greg Glenn had to endure with on Monday. But be sure to subscribe, especially to Steven's YouTube channel. We'd appreciate it. Give us all the 5-star reviews on all the podcasts. We would certainly appreciate that as well. For Steven Ostentoski, I'm Vaughn Lozon. Catch you guys next time. Go Blue.